الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, درس القرآن will be imparted in the English language. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما تفرقوا إلا من بعد ما جاءهم العلم بغيا بينهم، ولولا كلمة سبقت من ربك إلى أجل مسمى لقضي بينهم، وإن الذين أورثوا الكتاب من بعدهم لفي شك منه مريب. فلذلك فادع واستقم كما أمرت، ولا تتبع أهواءهم، وقل آمنت بما أنزل الله من كتاب، وأمرت لأعدل بينكم، الله ربنا وربكم، لنا أعمالنا ولكم أعمالكم، لا حجة بيننا وبينكم، الله يجمع بيننا وإليه المصير. والذين يحاجون في الله من بعد ما استجيب له حجتهم داحضة عند ربهم، وعليهم غضب ولهم عذاب شديد. الله الذي أنزل الكتاب بالحق والميزان، وما يدريك لعل الساعة قريب. يستعجل بها الذين لا يؤمنون بها، والذين آمنوا مشفقون منها ويعلمون أنها الحق. ألا إن الذين يمارون في الساعة لفي ضلال بعيد. الله لطيف بعباده يرزق من يشاء، وهو القوي العزيز. من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في حرثه، ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها، وما له في الآخرة من نصيب. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا، وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. وما تفرقوا إلا من بعد ما جاءهم العلم بغيا بينهم. They divided only after knowledge came to them because of the animosity between themselves. Sayyiduna Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is speaking about the Quraysh of Makkatul Mukarrama, the disbelievers of Makkatul Mukarrama during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And previously, in the previous ruku, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given this command that لا تتفرقوا فيه, that do not cause division between the Muslims and the non-Muslims, meaning that the commands which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, that believe in one Allah, believe that the Quran is the book of Allah, and believe that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the prophet of Allah. So the disbelievers were causing this division, that they were not willing to accept any of these beliefs. So Allah Ta'ala further says that, however, despite the command not to be divided, they divided. They still divided. Only after knowledge came to them. And knowledge here, al-ilm, knowledge, it refers to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, instead of mentioning the word Nabi or the word Rasul for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word al-ilm for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this indicates to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was an entire fountain of knowledge. This is why he himself used to say, "Utitu ilma al-awwalin wal-akhirin," that I have been given the knowledge of all the events of the past as well as all the events of the future. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been described in this verse with the word al-ilm, with the word knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they, meaning the kuffar of Makkatul Mukarrama, the disbelievers of Makkatul Mukarrama, divided only after knowledge, meaning after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to them. And according to a second group of mufassirin, it doesn't refer to only the kuffar of Makkatul Mukarrama. Rather, this verse also refers to all the previous disbelievers of the previous nations. And al-ilm here will then refer to that particular knowledge of deen, which is tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it would mean that they, meaning the followers of the previous anbiya, divided only after the knowledge of deen and the knowledge of tawheed came to them. And what was the cause of this division? So Allah Ta'ala further says, بَغْيَمْ بَيْنَهُمْ, because of the animosity between themselves, the mutual dissent. Now here, it's important to understand that there are two reasons as to why disunity is usually caused amongst people. One is the desire of wealth, and number two is the desire for fame. So usually what happens is an individual, he within himself has a desire to become extremely wealthy and extremely rich. Or The desire is not to become extremely wealthy or extremely rich, but the desire is to become famous. And both of these, the desire for wealth and the desire for fame, they are extremely detrimental for a person. So much so that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has actually highlighted both of them in one hadith, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that two hungry wolves, if they were to be let loose among sheep. So it's common knowledge that a wolf usually attacks a sheep. Now these wolves, first of all, it's not one wolf, it's two wolves. And on top of this, they are both hungry. And if they were to be let loose among a herd of sheep, one can understand the havoc they will cause and the destruction they will cause to these sheep. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that more havoc and more destruction will be caused amongst the masses and amongst the people when you find an individual who has within himself greed for wealth or greed for fame. Now again, in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not mentioned that becoming wealthy will be something which will cause havoc or destruction amongst the people. Likewise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not mentioned that if someone becomes famous, this will cause havoc and destruction amongst the people. So becoming wealthy or becoming famous, this is not something which is bad. What is bad is to have the greed to become wealthy or to have the greed to become famous. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants someone wealth and this person becomes wealthy, but he doesn't have within himself the inclination to become wealthy, then this is fine. Likewise, if Allah ta'ala divinely makes a person famous, like we see many individuals who are extremely pious, extremely religious, and Allah ta'ala then grants them fame. So this fame will not be harmful for them also, it will not be harmful for the people also. But if a person within himself has this desire to become famous or desire to become wealthy, then this will be something which will cause destruction for himself also and for the people also. So these are two reasons for disunity, that usually what happens is an individual, he either has the desire to become wealthy and rich, or he has a desire to become famous. Now in order to do so, he gradually begins to grow his own circle and his own group, his own following. And this group, this circle, this following starts to grow and grow. And because he himself wants to remain at the top, whenever he gets the opportunity, he will try his best to bring down any other circle, any other group, or any individual who he feels is going to be an ally for himself. If he sees that this particular person is progressing more than I am, so he will do whatever it takes, even if it means backbiting, even if it means slandering, even if it means looting, theft, and even if it means taking that person's life. So whatever steps he needs to take, he will take those steps. So these are two reasons for disunity which the ulama have mentioned. Now, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that the disbelievers, they divided only after knowledge came to them because of the animosity between themselves. Because these two points, the reason for mentioning these two points is that whenever a prophet would come And the Prophet would call the people towards believing in one Allah or in believing towards the deen. Then those individuals who either wanted to become wealthy or who either wanted fame, the point which would cross their mind is that if we were to accept this individual as the Prophet, then first of all, there is no way we are going to gain that status which we desire. We will have to listen to what he has to say. So he will always remain at the top. He is the Prophet of Allah. So we are never going to gain that status. And likewise, once we accept him as the Prophet, we will have to now spend our wealth in all those avenues where he tells us to spend. If he says zakat is compulsory, we will have to spend in zakat. If he says that you have to go out in the path of Allah and you have to spend in the path of Allah, we will have to spend. So we will never be able to become wealthy also. So for this reason, they would never be willing to accept the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the kuffar and the infidels of the early ages, they both demanded that their prophets should also follow the misguidance they themselves had adopted. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before this Allah ta'ala further mentions that وَلَوْلَا كَلِمَةٌ سَبَقَتْ مِنْ رَبِّكَ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّا لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ. If it were not for a decree that issued forth from your Rabb, until a prescribed term, their matter would have been decided. So what does this mean? This means that Allah Ta'ala is answering a question which could occur in a person's mind. That these kuffar and mushrikeen, they continue to torture the Muslims. They continue to go against the teachings of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yet Allah Ta'ala's punishment did not come down upon them. So why did Allah Ta'ala's punishment not come down upon such people when they were going against the Prophet of Allah? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says and answers this, that if it were not for a decree, meaning, what was the decree? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that these people will be destroyed at this particular time. So Allah Ta'ala has already fixed the time for their adab and punishment. For many of them, the punishment will be in the hereafter. So Allah Ta'ala is saying, because I have already fixed their time, this is why I am not punishing them at this particular moment in time. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُورِثُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ لَفِي شَكِّمْ مِنْهُ مُرِيبٍ. Indeed, those, meaning the Arabs during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who were given the book, meaning the Quran, after them, meaning after the previous nations, are in grave doubt concerning it. Now, after this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being given certain commands in this next verse. And in fact, in this next verse, verse number 15 of Surah Ash-Shura, there are 10 types of commands which have been mentioned. So in one verse, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned 10 types of commands. The great Mufassir, Allama Ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, mentions that this verse, it consists of 10 sentences. So it's one ayah, it's one verse, but in this one verse there's 10 sentences. And each sentence, it carries a specific order. There's a specific order in each sentence. And 10 types of commands have been stated in this one ayah. And there are only two such ayahs in the entire Quran. One is Ayatul Kursi. So Ayatul Kursi also consists of 10 different commands. And this particular verse, verse number 15 in Surah Ash-Shura, also consists of 10 commands. So the very first one is فَلِذَٰلِكَ فَدْعُ. Allah Ta'ala says فَلِذَٰلِكَ فَدْعُ, that this deen of Islam and Quran is what you should call towards. So what this means is, although it sits very heavy on the mushrikeen, when you call towards the tawheed and the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, those who ascribe partners with Allah, they find this very difficult. They don't like what you are saying. But despite of this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being told that you must continue with your da'wah and with your propagation. So this is the first command which is being mentioned here. That فَلِذَٰلِكَ فَدْعُ. And this, you have to continue regardless of the opposition you encounter. And in here there's a lesson for each person, that as believers, whenever we call people towards deen, so whenever you call someone towards deen, in this endeavor of yours, you will find opposition. You will find people criticizing you. You will find people saying things against you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being told that you must continue with this and you must not give up. Number two, wastaqim kama umirta. Be steadfast as you have been commanded. Be steadfast as you have been commanded. What does this mean? This means, first of all, that you yourself ought to stand firm in the religion towards which you are inviting other people. So again, when we call people towards deen, towards Islam, towards practicing upon Islam, then we ourselves have to also practice. If we just call others towards practicing and we ourselves are not practicing, then this goes against the actual reason as to why we are calling others to practicing upon Islam. So this is one meaning of wastaqim kama umirt, that you have to practice upon what you propagate. And another point mentioned by the Mufassirin under this ayah is that the firmness has to be in accordance to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that to be moderate in every aspect, there are five aspects of deen. Number one is aqaid, the beliefs. So when it comes to belief, you cannot sway to any other belief. You have to believe in those beliefs which we have been told to believe in. In every single aqidah and belief, we have to be firm. Number two is the ibadat and the worship. So salah, zakat, hajj, fasting, whatever ibadat there are, a person has to be completely firm in every single ibadah and every single worship. Number three is husne akhlaq, the good characters, the good morals. So to have all of those good traits and good characteristics in a person. And number four is mu'amala, transactions, our dealing. So when we deal with people, we have to again deal in the way that we have been taught by Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And finally, mu'ashara, social etiquettes. So how we behave with people in our social life. So again, we have been taught all the etiquettes with regards to how we should behave in our social life. So the entire deen, this is the entire deen. So in wastaqim kama umirt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you have to remain firm in everything that you have been commanded to do. And Allah ta'ala says kama umirt, in the manner that you have been commanded. So in here there is an indication that you don't incline towards the left extreme and you don't incline towards the right extreme. This is called ifrat and tafrit. So ifrat is when a person, he inclines towards one extreme where he does more than he is supposed to. And tafrit is when you incline towards another extreme that you do less than you are supposed to. Now they are both extremes. So a person, he spends more time in the masjid than he is supposed to. This is also an extreme. For example, his family need him at home, and he is spending the entire 24 hours in the masjid. His wife is ill at home. Instead of looking after her, he is spending all his time away in the path of Allah Ta'ala. This is one extreme. And you have another extreme where even at the time of compulsory salah, this person doesn't come to the masjid and perform his salah. So here he's spending less time than he is supposed to. So wastaqim kama umirt means that remain steadfast upon the deen, but in the manner that you have been commanded by Allah Ta'ala. So there should be no extremism. There should be complete moderation in your practicing and in your steadfastness in deen. And again, this is another time, another place and another area where many people, they fall short. One is those individuals that don't practice upon deen at all. But then when a person starts to practice upon deen, then shaitan uses this weapon of his where he tries to make us extreme. So extreme in such a way that we are doing either less than we are supposed to or we are doing more than we are supposed to without realizing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown us throughout his entire life that Islam is all about moderation. Islam is all about moderation. So we need to know where the limits are. On one occasion, three companions, they came to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they asked, they came to Aisha radiallahu anha. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not in the house. So they asked Aisha radiallahu anha as to what extra ibadah and worship the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam carries out. So Aisha radiallahu anha informed them that this is what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam does. This is how his 24-hour schedule is. So these three sahaba, they thought to themselves that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his status is extremely high. And we need to do even more than what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam does. Look, again, this is another way in which shaitan can deceive a person. Whereas, the belief should be that what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has done, that is the guideline. Now, doing more than that is also wrong. Just as doing less is wrong, doing more is also wrong. But shaitan could put this in your mind that he was the Prophet of Allah. We need to do even more. So these companions, one of them said that from today, I am going to spend the entire night in worshipping Allah. I am not going to sleep at all. And another companion said that I am going to fast every single day. From now on, I am not going to eat. I am going to fast daily. And a third one said that I am not going to get married. Because if you get married, you will have to now look after your wife also. If you have children, you will have even more responsibilities. But if you are single, you can spend all your time in ibadah, you have no responsibilities. So, somebody could think, if you don't have the correct vision and the correct understanding of deen, you could think to yourself that, how noble are these people's intentions? They are willing to sacrifice the entire night, or they are willing to sacrifice their food, or they are willing to sacrifice their pleasures and they don't want to get married. And they want to spend all their effort and time in worshipping Allah Ta'ala. Anyway, they left. After some time, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam returned. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha gave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the report that this is what has happened. Because this Sharia, and to practice upon Islam, you need a guide. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the guide. Now, is what these individuals have done, is it correct, is it incorrect? Only the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam can decide. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha presents the report. Now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam will present us with the result. That have they done what is correct or have they done what is incorrect? So straight away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was informed that this is what the three companions have said, he straight away went towards the masjid. Because the thought crossed his mind that these individuals at this moment in time, they are so intoxicated with this thought of ibadah and worship that the place to find them has to be the masjid. There will be nowhere else. But this also shows the intelligence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes to the masjid and he finds them. And he says that, is this what you said? So they all replied that, yes, this is what we said. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam then informed them that I fast also, and I eat also. And at night, I worship Allah Ta'ala also, but I sleep also. And I marry also. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that famous statement which we hear on the occasion of nikah. That man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni. Whoever diverts himself from my sunnah, meaning from my way of life. So sunnah means the entire way of life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. From the morning till the evening. Everything which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam does, the entire way of life is called sunnah. So man raghiba an sunnati, that person who diverts his way of life from my sunnah, from my way of life, then falaysa minni, he is not from amongst me. So to be a Muslim, you have to do that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has shown, not more, not less. So this is moderation. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam showed them that you can't just spend every single night in ibadah, or you can't just fast every day, and you can't just say that from now I'm not going to get married. No, you have to do everything within moderation. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had made Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Abu Darda radiallahu anhu brothers when one migrated to Madinatul Munawwara. So the two were staying together. So it so happened that one day Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he entered the house, he saw that Ummu Darda radiallahu anha, who was the wife of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, she was in a very disheveled state, and she looked sad, and she didn't look happy. So he gauged this, and he asked her that, why are you like this? So in a modest manner, she replied that, Akhuka Abu Darda, your brother Abu Darda, he has no inclination towards the world. And by mentioning this statement, what she was referring to, he has no inclination towards me and no time for me. So Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu understood that Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu is exerting himself more than he is supposed to this extent that he is not even fulfilling the right of his wife. So upon this, when Abu Darda radiallahu anhu returned, Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to him that, I am sitting down to eat, you also sit down and eat with me. So Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu replied that, I am fasting. Salman radiallahu anhu said, no, it's an optional fast, you must break your fast, I am commanding you, sit down and eat with me, you have to eat, you're not allowed to fast. Thereafter, at night, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu said to Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu that, you go to sleep, I am going to stand on the musalla and do ibadah. So Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu again said to him, no, this is not the time for ibadah, you go into your room and spend this time with your wife. After some time, in the middle of the night, Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu saw that Abu Darda radiallahu anhu is coming out of his room because he wants to do ibadah. So again Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu said to him that, go back, it's not time for ibadah right now. And thereafter, in the last portion of the night, this is when Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu said to Abu Darda that, now wake up and now perform tahajjud salah, this is the time for ibadah. Now look, the whole incident took place, but it needed to be verified that who's correct, who's right, who's wrong. And verification would take place by the Grand Mufti of the time, who was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in the morning, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said that, this is what has happened. He didn't even let me fast at night, he didn't let me spend the entire night in ibadah. So what did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, that your nafs also has a right over you. وَلِجَسَدِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, your body also has a right over you. وَلِزَوْجِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, your wife also has a right over you. وَلِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّ, your children also have a right over you. Everything has a right. So فَأْتُ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقَّ, make sure you fulfill the right of each and every individual. So this is moderation, this is understanding the deen. So when we practice upon the deen, yes, we need to practice upon the deen, yes, we need to fulfill the commands of Allah Ta'ala, but everything needs to be done within moderation. We shouldn't fall into any extreme when we are practicing upon the deen. So wastaqim kama umirt, this one command, it includes all of this in it. That practice upon the entire deen, ibadah, muamalat, muashara, husn-e akhlaq, and together with all of this, make sure you don't fall into any extreme. Now, how difficult is it to do all of this? It's extremely difficult. This is why this very command, wastaqim kama umirt, also appears in Surah Hud. So under the commentary of that ayah, there is a hadith in which some companions came, and according to some narrations, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came. And he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qad shayyabta. Oh, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have become old. They saw white strands of hair in the beard of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So white hair is an indication that a person is now aging. So they said, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we feel concerned that you have become old. When you have become old, very soon you are going to leave this world. So you have become old. You have white hair. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he heard this from the Sahaba, he informed them as to why these white hair have occurred. What was the reason for white hair? It's not always due to old age. Some may say that I got married and the next day white hair began to grow. So that could be a reason also. Sometimes it could be children. Sometimes it could be stress of work. So why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have white hair? What was the reason? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Shayyabatni Hud. Surah Hud has made me old. And the Mufassirin mentioned that not the entire Surah Hud, one command in Surah Hud. And what was that command? This very command. Wastaqim kama umirt. That Allah Ta'ala is saying that remain steadfast as you have been commanded. When we look at this whole commentary now, look how difficult it is that to break the entire deen into your life without any extremism, without going to the left or to the right, not doing more, not doing less, and making sure you're practicing upon every single command of Allah Ta'ala. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told, wastaqim kama umirt, remain steadfast as you have been commanded, then this was the command which made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have white hair, and white hair grew on him. So anyway, wastaqim kama umirt. And thereafter Allah Ta'ala further says, the third command in this verse is, وَلَا تَتَّبِئْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, that do not follow their whims, their desires, by making the compromises the kuffar demand. So whenever they demand that you must compromise on your deen, then even we face this, that sometimes when we want to socialize with the non-Muslims and we want to live with them side by side, which is something Islam does not tell us to go against. We need to live side by side with the non-Muslims. But the problem is that whenever we try this, they will always tell us and they will always want us to compromise on our beliefs. So here the Quran is saying that وَلَا تَتَّبِ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ, which means that do not compromise on your beliefs. You have to remain firm upon the teachings of Islam. And this command can also mean that not to be concerned about the opposition of any opponent in his duty of propagation. That when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is propagating, then when there is opposition from the opponent, then he shouldn't be concerned with regards to this. He should continue calling people towards Islam. Number four, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كِتَابٍ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told that, say, I believe in that which Allah Ta'ala has revealed from the book. And what this means is that not only do I believe in the Quran, I believe in all of the previous books which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Number five, وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَعْدِلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَعْدِلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. I have been commanded to maintain justice between you people. لِأَعْدِلَ بَيْنَكُمْ, here has two meanings. One meaning is what we have just mentioned in the translation, that it means justice. So what it means here is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that whenever there's a difference of opinion between two people or two parties, then when you will come to me and present the case to me, then I will have to make the decision with justice. I will have to be just in my ruling. And a second meaning of لِأَعْدِلَ بَيْنَكُمْ here, لِأَعْدِلَ could mean equality also. And equality could mean equality. If we take the translation equality, what it means is that should treat all the commands of religion equally by believing in all the prophets, in all the books, and by obeying all the divine laws without any exception. So there are two meanings here of وَأُمِرْتُ لِأَعْدِلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Thereafter, number 6, Allahu Rabbuna wa Rabbukum. Allah is our Rabb and Allah is your Rabb. So in here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is informing the disbelievers that all of us are nourished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using the word Rabb. So Rabb is that being who brings a person up right from its inception and makes this being or makes this creation reach its peak. This is why, with regards to parents, we say, Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. So even there, for Allah, we use the word Rabb, but we use this word for parents also. That kama rabbayani, the way they nourished us, the way they brought us up. Because parents, they are the means to bring us up right from the inception till we reach our peak. But the actual Rabb is Allah. It's Allah who gives our parents the abilities. If Allah Ta'ala did not give our parents the abilities, and Allah Ta'ala did not give our parents the provisions, they would not have been able to bring us up. So the real Rabb and the true Rabb is Allah. So Allahu Rabbuna wa Rabbukum. Allah is our Rabb and Allah Ta'ala is your Rabb. Meaning He is the one who nourishes all of us. Lana a'maluna wa lakum a'malukum. This is the seventh command or the seventh point mentioned in this verse, that for us are our actions belong to us, walakum a'malukum, and for you are your actions. Our actions are for us and yours are for you. What this means is that after you have been discussing with the non-believers and you have been debating with them and you've placed all the proofs on the table with regards to Islam being the correct religion, if they still do not believe, then the final answer now should be that lana a'maluna wa lakum a'malukum. That on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala is going to reward us for our actions, and Allah Ta'ala will thereafter take you for task for your actions, if you do not believe. And if you do believe, then you will also be with us. So everyone is responsible for his own deeds. This is the final answer which is given to them. Some commentators of the Quran have mentioned that when the verses with regards to jihad were revealed, then this command was cancelled. Because thereafter the command was that if they do not accept, then a war will have to be waged against them. But obviously that's with many conditions. So anyway, lana a'maluna wa lakum a'malukum. And thereafter, number 8, La hujjata baynana wa baynakum. Allah Ta'ala further says that there is no dispute between yourselves and us. Meaning further discussion is now useless. There is no need to debate further. Allahu yajma'u baynana. Everyone will be dealt with. On the day of Qiyamah, Allahu yajma'u baynana. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala shall gather us all together. Meaning on the day of Qiyamah. So He will gather us all together. And after we are all gathered on the day of Qiyamah, then we will all be dealt with according to how we lived in this world. وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ. And to Him shall be our return. Once we return to Allah Ta'ala, then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will judge between us. So these are 10 points which have been mentioned in this verse. After this, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala further mentions, وَالَّذِينَ يُحَاجُّونَ فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَسْتُجِيبَ لَهُ حُجَّتُهُمْ دَاحِدَةٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. Those who argue with the Muslims about their Rabb after He has been accepted by them as their Rabb, their argument is useless before their Rabb. On them is Allah's wrath, anger, and they will suffer a severe punishment. The reason for mentioning this verse or revealing this verse is that the disbelievers, one of their arguments was that they would say that our prophets, for example, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, some of them came from the lineage of Ibrahim alayhi salam and believed in Ibrahim alayhi salam. Some of them believed in Isa alayhi salam, some in Musa alayhi salam. So their argument was that our prophets came before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Likewise, our religion came before your religion. So due to this, our religion and our prophet is more virtuous than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the religion he has come with. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is refuting this argument of theirs and saying that we can see that there are many individuals who are extremely intelligent and who are extremely influential, but they have all accepted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the religion of Islam. The likes of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, all great individuals. Now when they have all accepted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam as the Prophet of Allah and they have accepted Islam as the true religion, then again this argument of yours has no basis to it. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is refuting their claim in this particular verse. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Allahu alladhi anzala al-kitaba bil-haqqi wal-mizan. It is Allah who revealed the book, meaning the Quran, with the truth, as well as the scale, al-mizan, the scale. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبٌ. How could you know that Qiyamah is probably very close? The word mizan in Arabic, the translation for mizan is scale. And the commentators here have mentioned two meanings in this particular verse. One meaning of mizan here is justice. So the verse will mean that it is Allah who revealed the book, meaning the Quran, with the truth, wal mizan, as well as justice. And what this means is just as you are being told to follow the entire Quran and all the commands in the Quran, one of the commands in the Quran is justice. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala commands you to withhold justice. So you are being told that follow the Quran, the teachings of the Quran, as well as this one command, which is the command of justice. And some commentators are of the opinion that mizan here means that to be just with the servants of Allah Ta'ala. So whenever you come into interaction with other servants of Allah, you fulfill their rights. If it's children, you fulfill the rights of children. If it's the spouse, you fulfill the rights of the spouse. If it's parents, you fulfill the rights of the parents. If it's elderly, you fulfill the rights of the elderly. Whoever you come into interaction with, in Islam we have been taught to fulfill their rights. So you have to fulfill their rights. So where Allah Ta'ala mentions in the initial part, Allahu alladhi anzala al-kitaba bil-haq, it is Allah who revealed the book with the truth, with haq. If we take the second commentary, al-haq will then refer to the rights of Allah. Meaning salah, zakat, hajj, these are the rights of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us, fulfill the rights of Allah also. But wal-mizan, fulfill the rights of the servants of Allah also. But this is also a point to keep in mind, that sometimes when a person tries to become religious and practice upon the deen, he fulfills the rights of Allah, but he discards the rights of the servants of Allah. You have to fulfill the rights of Allah also, you have to fulfill the rights of the servants of Allah also. Both have been highlighted here. And وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبٌ. Do you not know that Qiyamah is probably very close? So these people, one of their arguments was that because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not know when Qiyamah will take place, then because of this, Qiyamah is not going to take place. So Allah Ta'ala is saying to them that whether a person knows when something is going to take place or not, this doesn't mean it's not going to take place. Qiyamah is going to take place. And you should therefore believe in and practice the teachings of the Quran in preparation for Qiyamah. يستعجل بها الذين لا يؤمنون بها. Those who do not believe in it, meaning Qiyamah, they seek to hasten it. And those who believe in it, fear it, and know that it is the truth. Behold, those who have doubts about Qiyamah have deviated far away. Here Allah Ta'ala mentions two different groups with regards to Qiyamah. One is the mu'mineen and one is the disbelievers. As far as the disbelievers are concerned, regarding them, Allah Ta'ala says that they seek to hasten it. Meaning they keep asking that when is Qiyamah going to take place? You keep saying Qiyamah is going to take place, so where is this Qiyamah? So they continue to ask regarding Qiyamah. And as far as the believers are concerned, then they fear with regards to Qiyamah, because they know it's true. And the reason they fear Qiyamah is because they know that on the day of Qiyamah, they will have to stand in the court of Allah Ta'ala. They will be questioned with regards to their entire life. And every person knows, no matter how hard he tries, that I am falling short as far as worshipping Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is concerned. How can a person, even if he was perfect, how could he present himself before Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who is such a great being? So they fear Qiyamah. Every believer fears Qiyamah, because he knows he will have to stand in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Now here a question arises, that in one hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions that when a believer is placed inside his grave, then after being placed inside his grave, he speaks to Allah Ta'ala and he says to Allah Ta'ala that, "Oh Allah, make Qiyamah come quickly." So in this hadith, we find that a believer says to Allah Ta'ala and requests Allah that make Qiyamah come quickly. But in this verse, Allah Ta'ala is saying that the believers, they fear Qiyamah. So there seems to be this contradiction. So the answer to this is very simple, that a believer, in the world, he fears Qiyamah, because he has no idea as to what his fate is going to be. But once he passes from this worldly life, he goes past death, he goes into the grave, he answers the questions of the angels, and thereafter, the grave is turned for him into a garden from the gardens of paradise. And now he can see his abode in Jannah. So now he knows that my abode is paradise. So now he's not going to fear Qiyamah anymore. So now he's going to say to Allah that, "Oh Allah, make Qiyamah come quickly." Because he knows what his final abode and result is going to be. So these are the two types, the disbelievers and the believers. أَلَّا إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُمَارُونَ فِي السَّاعَةِ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Those who have doubts about Qiyamah have deviated far away. اللَّهُ لَطِيفٌ بِإِبَادِهِ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْقَوِيُّ الْعَزِيزُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is compassionate, merciful towards His servants. He sustains whoever He wills, and He is the powerful, the mighty. The reason for mentioning this verse, Allahu latifun bi ibadi, Allah is compassionate towards His servants, is because the disbelievers, another argument of theirs was that, look, we don't believe in Allah, we haven't accepted Islam, but despite of this, Allah Ta'ala is giving us so much in this world. We have all the good things of this world. Look at our houses, look at our money, we have everything. In fact, we are living better lives than many of these Muslims who have accepted Islam. So when He has given us everything in this world, first of all, we don't believe in a life hereafter. But let's say by chance there is a life hereafter. When Allah has given us everything in this world, why will He not give us everything in the hereafter? He'll give us everything there also. So this was another argument of this. So this argument Allah Ta'ala now answers in this verse, that Allahu latifun bi ibadih, Allah Ta'ala, He is extremely compassionate and merciful with His servants. So this refers to this world, that in this world Allah Ta'ala is extremely compassionate. So in this world, Allah Ta'ala doesn't look at whether you are right or whether you are wrong. He is going to give you. He is going to be merciful towards you. Allah Ta'ala is Rahmanul Dunya and Rahimul Akhirah. So Rahmanul Dunya, He is the merciful. He is the all-merciful in this world. So in this world, His mercy reigns upon believers as well as disbelievers. But the Rahimul Akhirah, in the hereafter, His mercy will only reign upon the believers. So this is where they fail to realize that in this world, Allah Ta'ala is extremely compassionate to all His servants, whether they believe in Him or not. يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, He gives rizq and sustenance to whomsoever He wishes. So from this compassion of His, one part of this compassion is that He gives sustenance to whomsoever He wishes. Now this rizq and sustenance, one is food and drink. So as far as food and drink is concerned, Allah Ta'ala gives food and drink to every creation of His. Humans, Muslims, non-Muslims, animals, and any other creations of His, they are all given this type of rizq and sustenance. Thereafter, there are other forms of rizq For example, knowledge is also a form of rizq. Wealth is a form of rizq. Health is a form of rizq. Intelligence is a form of rizq. All the other resources of this world that a person could have, these are all different forms of rizq. Allah Ta'ala says that He gives these forms of rizqs, may yasha, to whomsoever He wishes. So He may give somebody wealth, He may give another person intelligence, He may give another person knowledge. So He gives it to whomsoever He wishes. This is a distribution of Allah. This is why Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, Radina qismatal jabbari fina. We are very pleased and happy with the distribution of Allah. What distribution? Lana ilmun walil juhali malu. He has given us ilm and He has given the ignorant people wealth. Why are we happy with this distribution? فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ وَالْإِلْمُ بَاقٍ لَا يَزَالُ. Because wealth will very soon perish and come to an end. But ilm will continue forever and ever. So look, this is another type of distribution of Allah Ta'ala. This is also a form of rizq. So these forms of rizq Allah Ta'ala gives to whomsoever He wishes. Ja'far bin Muhammad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, says that in here, there are two points to keep in mind. One is that Allah Ta'ala gives rizq and essentials to all of His creations. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't give the rizq and sustenance, especially the food and drink, all in one go. So if Allah Ta'ala wished, what He could have done is that a person is born and straight away Allah Ta'ala says that this is your sustenance, you're going to live for 50 years and this is all the food and drink. If Allah Ta'ala did this, number one, how would we have securely preserved it in one place? It would have been very difficult. Somebody would have taken it away from us. And even if we had a secure place, a secure safe where we could have put everything in, we would have been able to preserve it. It would have gone off. The food would have gone bad after a few days. So Allah Ta'ala didn't give it all in one go. Rather, He gives it to us gradually when we need it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stipulated our rizq with time as well as with place. So we see that, for example, tomorrow a person may have a plan to go to London. So Allah ta'ala already knew from before that this person on this date is going to London and at this time he will be hungry and he will need food. So your rizq is already there in London waiting for you. Without you even realizing, sometimes it happens that you're traveling and you just think, let's go and sit at this person's house. And you go and sit at that person's house and they present you with tea, with biscuits, with some snacks. And you have nothing in mind that you're going there to eat. So look, this rizq, how did it get here? Allah Ta'ala had stipulated it for you. This is why if somebody comes to our house, they are not eating our food. They are eating their own food, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already fixed for them, and Allah ta'ala has placed that food in that place for them because Allah ta'ala knew they are going to be there at that time, in that particular place. So, يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْقَبِيُّ الْعَزِيزُ اللَّهُ لَطِيفٌ بِإِبَادِهِ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْقَبِيُّ الْعَزِيزُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the powerful, the mighty. And finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الْآخِرَةِ نَزِلْ لَهُ فِي حَرْثِهِ. Whoever desires the harvest, the rewards of the akhirah, we shall increase its harvest for him. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. However, we shall grant only a part of this world's harvest, meaning the material goods, to the one who desires it, without him receiving all his desires. وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. And he will have no share in the akhirah. So in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that you will have two types of people. You have one, those people who want the akhirah. Their desire is that we want as much as possible in Jannah, in paradise. It doesn't matter what we gain in this world. They've made the hereafter their goal. And you have a second group of people, they made this world their goal. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, those who have made this world their goal, they will get maybe some part of this world. But there's no way they're going to get everything that they desire. Even that person who spends every single moment in trying to gain everything of this world and try and fulfill every desire of his, he will never be able to fulfill every desire of his. He may gain a small percentage. So he'll gain a small percentage of this world, And in the Akhirah, he'll gain nothing because he's not worked for the hereafter. And those people who have made the hereafter their goal, Allah Ta'ala says that we will give them even more than what they worked for. They will get so much more. What they desired, if you and I at this moment in time were to dream about Jannah, how much can we dream? So Allah Ta'ala says, we will give them even more than what you can dream about. So this is the results of those who make the hereafter their goal and this world this goal. Now, very final point here, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah here is mentioned in Ma'ariful Quran under the commentary of this ayah with regards to those people who are worried about their sustenance. So Allah Ta'ala has just mentioned about rizq. So some people, they find it difficult to find a job. Or they find it difficult that where is my money going to come from? This is always on their mind that where will I, how will I be able to pay my bills? Or how will I be able to look after my family? I've been looking for a job but I can't find a job. So those people who are worried about sustenance, we find many prescriptions in the prophetic teachings. Now it's not possible because our time is finished to go through this, but very quickly I will just mention a couple here. The very first point to keep in mind if you're worried about your sustenance is, Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. There Allah Ta'ala says, Allah Ta'ala will give you sustenance from avenues that did not even cross your mind. What do you have to do? You have to adopt taqwa. You have to refrain from disobeying Allah Ta'ala, which means there should be no guna, no sin in your life, and you have to do everything which is farz and compulsory. So take stock of your life and see that where am I going wrong as far as deen is concerned. And wherever you're going wrong, patch up those places and start practicing upon the deen. If you start practicing upon the deen, Allah Ta'ala will give you sustenance from avenues that did not even cross your mind. Number one. Number two is istighfar. So daily, spend some time in saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, oh Allah forgive my sins, oh Allah forgive my sins. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, man lazim al istighfar. He who holds fast to istighfar, one of the results of this is, وَرَزَّقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah Ta'ala will give you sustenance from avenues that did not even cross your mind. So number one, taqwa. Number two, istighfar. And thereafter, keeping this ayah in mind, Shabul Ghani Pulpuri rahmatullahi alayhi says that Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahmatullahi alayhi used to, whenever somebody would come to him and say, I'm worried about my sustenance or I'm looking for a job and I'm finding it very difficult, then he would tell him that punctually in the morning, recite this ayah of the Quran, Allahu latifum bi ibadihi yarzuqu man yasha wa huwa al-qawiyyul aziz. And you need to recite this 70 times in the morning. So if daily in the morning someone recites this verse 70 times, very soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide him with rizq and sustenance. And a fourth method is that daily in the evening, any time of the Maghrib and before going to sleep, we should recite Suratul Waqi'ah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, if you recite Suratul Waqi'ah any time of the Maghrib before going to sleep, then this person will never have to face poverty during his lifetime. Number five, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith that if someone recites 100 times, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim, Astaghfirullah. Between Subah Sadiq and Fajr Salah. So any time between Subah Sadiq and Fajr Salah, if you recite Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahi al-Azim, Astaghfirullah 100 times, and you do this, then wealth shall come to this person unwillingly and humbled. And finally, a sixth method is that by washing hands before and after food, so before eating and after eating, if a person washes his hands, then this will safeguard this person from poverty. So this is a very easy method, that before eating you make sure you wash your hands, after eating you make sure you wash your hands, and you do this all the time, then this person will also be saved from poverty. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to understand the lessons which have been derived from these verses of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us rizq and sustenance which is halal, which is abundant, and which is such that it does not deviate us from the straight path and keeps us on track in practicing upon the deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those individuals who are granted entry into Jannah and who are saved from the fire of Jahannam. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Hayya 'alas-salah. Hayya 'alas-salah. Hayya 'alal-falah. Hayya 'alal-falah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Allahu akbar. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, maliki yawmiddin. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina as-sirata al-mustaqim, sirata al-lazina an'amta alayhim, غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Allahu Akbar.